good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight, and thank you for being here. Looking forward to what the Lord has for us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us in this place tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. Dear Father, we love you and so thankful that you love us. God, I pray that you might do a work in our hearts and lives tonight. God, that you might bless the reading and preaching of your word. God, thank you for those that are here. I pray for those that are not able to be here. God, maybe that are watching online and have different things going on in their lives. God, that you might meet the needs on the hearts of your people. But meet with us in this place tonight. Bless the reading and preaching of your word, the songs, the fellowship, the offering, the invitation, the message. God, be with the whole night. In Jesus' name, amen. That's all. Stand. Turn to page 258. Christ Receive a Sinful Man, verses 1, 3, and 4. Page 258. Across the page, page 257, we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4 tonight. 1, 2, and 4.
This Sunday evening time, Wednesday, Bible preaching and prayer here in the house of God starting at 7 o'clock p.m. course, Saturday. Every Saturday is Operation Saturation Soul Winning and Bus Visitation. That starts every Saturday at 10 o'clock in the morning, a.m. time. And, of course, Sunday, January the 22nd, is going to be Sanctity of Life Sunday. So next week, we'll be having that Sanctity of Life Sunday. And then the following week will be Bus Adoption and Crazy Hat Sunday. There's information on the back table if you would like to partake in the bus adoption. So it kind of tells you how much is a full adoption, partial adoption, so forth. Or if you'd just like to make an anonymous donation, talk to Pastor about that. But we like to encourage everyone that they can to help the bus ministry keep going forward, keep getting the kids into church here. And of course, that also gives you time to get your crazy hat ready. So that's two Sundays away, bus adoption and crazy hat Sunday. Friday, February the 10th, will be a youth rally at Temple Baptist Church in El Dorado, Kansas. More information will be coming out about that very, very soon. So I believe that's all the current announcements that we have. So let's all stand. We'll have a time of shaking hands and fellowship, and then we will take the offering.
Offering tonight. Glad you're back in the house of the Lord. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to bless this offering to be used to thee. Brother Adam, will you do that for us, please? Man, you may be seated.
Thank you.
how you have won. Praise the Lord. Well, turn to page 259, Jesus Saves, and let's all stand. We'll sing the first and last verses this evening, verse 1 and 4, page 259. Can save, say amen. If you believe that he rose up the third day, say amen. If you believe that his word is true, say amen. And if you believe that his precious blood brings salvation, say amen. Amen. Well, we're all on the same page then. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that song, and what a good song. All right. Well, the first part of the first hour and a half is going to be a little different tonight, all right? I'm going to explain what happened this and get right into the message, but that won't be till the second hour and a half, all right? Okay. I can tell you, I'm making some of you really nervous right now.
But I got, you know, they say preachers only work 1.5 days a week, so I got to make my money, you know. I mean, you know. Anyway, all right. So, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll jump right in. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you, and dear Father, I thank you for our church and our dear people. God, I thank you for folks and churches just like this that are willing to dig deep, dear Father, and know that the you are the answer for the needs of man today. You are the only way to heaven, dear Father. You're the only one that can provide for us and take care of us and sustain us and take us to heaven when we die. And God, I thank you so much for allowing us to know the truth and to believe the truth. And God, I pray that we might hold on to it for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, last, they have this, it's called a National Church Planting and Home Missions Conference. That's what it's called. And so that's they have it every year, usually in January. Encourage you next year maybe to put that on your agenda and go sometime Tuesday, sometime Wednesday, sometime Thursday, be in a service and just see what God does. It's amazing. God's able, folks, and God is willing to use usable, willing vessels. And when we do our part, when they do their part, guess what? God steps in and does His part. But there was there's three parts of it. There was church plants that churches that have been planted in the last 2 years or in the next year. Planning on it, found a place, God put upon their heart in doing that. There was 34 of those in the book. Then 12 more were those church starts that are at least 2 years old. Sometimes it takes a while to get started. Sometimes it takes a while for startup and all that. And there was 12 of those. And then there was 9 churches that are restarts, that are salvaging. Ones that would have closed. Just down to nothing, and they brought in a preacher. I'll take that church. God's called me here, and they're rebuilding, like restarting. And so, but out of the 55 names in this book, 31 or 32 got to present. So over half of them that came got to present their needs to those that were there. And, of course, you read in a bulletin, $980,940 was given by God's people for the cause to start churches, revamp churches, restart churches. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a lot of money. And it was given. It wasn't from a lottery. It wasn't from a bake sale. It wasn't from a car wash. It was from God's people just like this, reaching down deep and saying, hey, I'll give this much, and all church will give this much, and my church will give this much. And that much was raised. And then $15,090 was given for monthly support. And that's one of the biggest things. A church planter moves and goes out to start a church, and he has no people and no building, and he's just getting started, and he needs to be supported at least part-time so he can get going and get started, so he can spend time soul winning and knocking doors and stuff like that. That was $15,000 was given just in monthly support. So you say, preacher, why are you sure that your money's going? Our money is going to a good place. And, you know, when we stand before the Lord, there's only going to be one person that's going to stand before the Lord for our church. Guess who that is? It's my wife. No. I be it. I'm going to stand before the Lord. And if the money is misguided, guess what? Guess who's going to have to stand accountable? If there's wrong doctrine and the church going the wrong direction, he's not going to bring the board of trustees and the ladies group and the men's group and said what was going on. I'm going to have to give an account for what takes place at Bethel Baptist Church. That's why the pastor has a little bit more leeway in leadership, because guess what? I'm going to stand before the Lord for everything that takes place. In the church, the Bible, the direction, the money, I'm going to have to stand before the Lord. And yes, I believe that I need to be accountable to you somewhat, but I believe in the pastoral leadership of the local New Testament Baptist Church, because I will stand before the Lord for that. So in saying that, why did I take $4,500 from ours and give it to people I don't even know and entrust and say, hey, I'm going to give you this money, so what are they going to do with it? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked that question. Amen. I'll tell you, I'm going to answer that question. Right in the front of this book, it says, this booklet provides information about church plants, church restarts, salvages, and church help ministries regarding where to send their name and their support. Each individual or ministry listed in this booklet has indicated their agreement with the following doctrinal positions. That's huge. I mean, we can give our monies to the Red Cross and to the Salvation Army, but and we can hope and pray they do right. Or I can take my money and give it to somebody that agrees with me doctrinally. And that's huge to me. I believe people can get saved in Bible churches and non-denominational churches, don't get me wrong. But I believe the church that God has started and God established and God works through is the local New Testament Bible-believing Baptist Church. I'm sorry, that's just how I am. I'm a big B, A, big A, big P, big T, B, I, big S, big T, B, S, big Baptist. That's what I am, all right? And I'm not ashamed of that. So just let me tell you what we gave our money, okay, to some people that said, I agree with these statements, or I wouldn't support them, okay? Number one, the King James Bible is the only version to be used for English-speaking people. Now, I got people said? Amen. That's the kind of people I want to invest in. I'm not saying people can't get saved and other. No. But I believe people that say, hey, this is the Word of God, and we're going to stick with this, and we're going to use this as the Word of God. Number two, the individual registered is Baptist and stands in Baptist position only. I say amen to that. The church being planted will be Baptist in both name and doctrine. Not a Bible church, not denominational, for as long as the individual registering remains the pastor. And all God's people said? Because I'm not interested in starting non-denominational Bible churches. I'm interested in starting Baptist churches. And that's what these guys said. Hey, I will do that as long as I'm the pastor of this restart, of this salvage. That's where I stand. Number three. Only authentic New Testament Baptist churches have the authority to start churches, and the individual registering is being sent out under the authority of such church. Now, God's people said? You say, well, what's that big? That's a huge deal. Can a male and female get together and have a child? Yes, they can. What do we call that if they're not married? Illegitimate, right? Yes, it is a child, yes. But it's an illegitimate child. And I believe that parents, married people, have children, so that means churches start churches. Colleges don't start churches. Evangelists don't start churches. No, we get our authority from the local New Testament Bible-believing Baptist Church. That's how missionaries start. You say, well, what do they do? Well, like Brother Stowe sent out Ross Ligon. I forgot where we went to. Africa? Okay, Africa. So Ross Ligon went and won people to the Lord and started First African Baptist Church. Amen. And he baptized them, but guess what? He was under the authority of Beville Baptist Church. And when those were baptized, they weren't baptized into Ross Ligon. They were baptized as members of Beville Baptist Church. And then when they got enough, they chartered that church and it became sustaining, self-governing, and they became the First Baptist Church of Africa. And guess what? So that church was started under the authority of another Baptist church. And that's the way it ought to be. I don't believe a man, well, you know, got a briefcase and a Bible. I'm going to go over here and start a church, and I'm going to get some people together. Well, you need the authority of another church to start a church. That's just what I believe. And I'm glad that the people that I'm investing in believes the same thing. All right? There's only two ordinances given to the church, and they are baptism and the Lord's Supper. They were given to the local New Testament Bible-believing Baptist Church. Baptism should be administered by immersion. We believe that. Only to saved individuals. We believe that. And only by the authority of the New Testament Baptist Church. It's in here. That's where I stand. I'm closed communion. I believe that when we take communion, it's not the body of Christ. It's this local New Testament church, because church means called out, assembled. Church is not a universal, invisible it's local, okay? And so baptism should be, they baptize into our church. The Lord's Supper can only be administered by the church and to the members of that local church, closed communion. Amen? That's what I believe. And then they say, I am a member of an independent Baptist church and only help independent Baptist church. Amen? Amen? Well, are you prejudiced? I'm not prejudiced, okay? And I'm not saying that we can help other people and stuff, and that's good. But I want to start churches just like this. I want to start Baptist churches that'll preach Baptist doctrine, which, by the way, is Bible doctrine. And if the Baptist doctrines differ from the Word of God, then the Baptist doctrine's got to go, and you keep the Word of God. All right. So I believe that. So that's why I'm so excited to go and give my money to this man and this man I've never met. I don't know if I ever meet him again, but he believes this. And I'm so thankful that I can take my money and give that. I saw two people look just like the Eberhards there the other day, Wednesday night. And I found out that was the Eberhards. Amen. So we met in the church, and then I went to Whataburger, and there they were, Whataburger. I said, hey, because... Of course, that's the only burger place open after 10 o'clock. But anyway, all right. So we got there Wednesday night. And if you ever get a chance, I won't fault you for this. Go to Oklahoma City. Go to Southwest Baptist Church. And if you a conference there. And, you know, it's good when, I mean, the world, they'll pack it in for a ball game. I mean, the seats. But I like to see that for the Lord. Amen. And Southwest Baptist Church, you got to go, excuse me. And you got to get there early to get the good seats down here. In a Baptist church, usually you got to get early to get the back seats, all right? But the people want to be in church. They're excited about the service. So we got there Wednesday night, went to church, and the first man up, well, one of the first that night, I'll share this with you. His name was Ron Reasoner. And he was going to Vancouver, Washington. Any of you been to Vancouver, Washington? Okay. David, have? You have? So he's going there. And it's amazing how God works, because Ron had been a missionary to Russia. And because of health and other reasons, he had to leave. Well, guess what? In Vancouver, Washington, 1 out of 6 people speak Russian. And so he found a church, and they're purchasing a $1 million property in Vancouver, Washington. It's 2.56 acres on the main highway in Vancouver for only $450,000. Wow. $1 million property on the main highway there in Vancouver, Washington. They're going to buy it for $450,000. And so... But he said in here he needed $150,000. But then he got up and he says, well, the Lord supplied this and that. I only need $80,000. And I'm sitting in my seat going, really? You're going to get $80,000? Yeah, all right. In my heart, I'm kind of like Sarah. I'm kind of laughing like, you may get $40,000, but $80,000? All right. And he talked to us and he said... He also told us that there was a business in the town that contacted him and said, preacher, we want you to come and witness to our employees. We want you to give the gospel. And they said, and we're going to have to pay you to do it. Ah! And you believe that? Paid to go into a secular business and preach and witness for the Lord? Amen? Isn't God good? And he says, I have several of those now. I'm looking for those too, you know. But I mean, amazing. Can you imagine? That's my God. I'm telling you, that's my God. So anyway, they started raising money. And it started 20,000 and 30,000 and 40,000. I'm like, wow, we're only halfway through the auditorium. And then 50,000 and 60,000 and 70,000 and 80,000. And they had this screen at the back of the church, and everybody was kind of looking at it. And when they got close to 80 to 90,000, man, everybody just, whoa, wonderful. But then somebody else stood up after it was all done. He had about $94,000, I think. That's amazing. And then another guy stood up and said, you know, our church had already, I don't know how that where they got the money, but they said we already got the money and we already had the 80,000 set apart that if they got 40, we'd give them 40. So we're just going to give them the other 80,000. So that guy walked away with $150,000. Isn't God good? Amen. I mean, can you? I would have never imagined this guy standing up and you say you need 80,000. I'm like, yeah, right. But I'm telling you, God's good. God is good. And he said before, he said, I need it in 9 days. That's the bigger thing. He says, I need it in 9 days. And I'm like, yeah, right. We all need it in 9 days. But he goes, if we don't get it in 9 days, we can lose this property. And I'm like, poor guy, he's going to lose that property. Need it in 9 days. I know you say, oh, you had lack of faith. I did. What would you do? Sitting there, really? But God came through. Praise the Lord. Amen. Then right after that, the choir got up and sang. Guess what they sang? Their first opening song, the opening verse, I believe he's enough. Amen. After the auditorium had raised $150,000, the choir, they had no idea that was going to take place. But they sang, I believe he's enough. I believe he's the only one to trust. I come to him empty, he fills my cup. I'm telling you, my blesser was blessed. I'm telling you. When you sit there and you say, they had no idea that was going to take place. They had no idea that the guy would even get 40,000, even if he was going to present. But that song was already on the docket. I'm telling you, God is a God of order. God does everything on purpose. He has a plan. It was great. It was great. Then page 28, we helped Pete Monturio, and he's in New York City. He's been there for many years, and he comes and brings lots of money for a year. But he needed $20,000. He has a building that was built in 1863. And, of course, New York City is, they're really stringent on codes and stuff like this. And so with the heaters, he said it was 23 outside, and they got it up to, I think, 63 degrees or something like that on the church night. What would you do? Anyway, but he needed $20,000 to get these radiators so he wouldn't have to go through the city and all that. And then he needed $3,000 for the family, and we gave him, I didn't put what in here, but I know we gave him some money and to help with that. Then we helped, let's see, 12. Jacob Jones is a bus kid. Said, I grew up, and at age 9, I started drinking. Became an alcoholic until I was 16. Then he said that he got saved, rode the bus, went to church, got saved, and he couldn't even read till age 22. But God's using this young man, and he's going to to Winter Haven, California. I guess there's a reservation there, and he's going in to be a part of that reservation and to build a church. And so I said that we would support him $50 a month for a year. And so we want to do that. Do I have a motion that we do that? I recommend that we do that. Brother Joel, number 2, all in favor, raise your right hand. Good, I'm out of hot water. Amen. But he got $570 a month for support. He needed $1,300, and he got $24,410. A bus kid. Then page 11. Oh, then there was Nathan Heckel. And Nathan Heckel, he was part of the staff there at Heartland Baptist Bible College. But Calvary Baptist Church had doing, I think, a restart in Henrietta, Oklahoma. Anybody have been to Henrietta, Oklahoma? Several of you? Not a big area, though, is it? It's great. And that's where he said, I knocked on the door, and I got it wrong. It was a 50 to 60-year-old man that said, thank you. This is the first time anybody's knocked on my door and invited me to church. In the Bible Belt, Henrietta, Oklahoma. So they've got a building, I guess, and then there was another area that the city leased or city owned, and they said, we'll lease it to you for 20 years for $1 a year. Woo! And we had one guy stand up and, you know, presenting or paying. He says, I'll pay the 20-year lease. Bless your heart, brother. Bless your heart. But he walked away saying, man, I paid a lease for a church for 20 years. But anyway, that was great. Then there was Ray Godfrey, and he's going to Wallace, Idaho. And that's the one where there's 964 people in the city, 10,000 people in the community, 24 bars, and no Baptist church. Never has been a Baptist church. How sad. For a church to have 24 bars and no independent premillennial Baptist church. We gave him $200. Stephen Childs, he was also a bus kid. I told you that he was the son of a drug dealer. His dad got killed when he was 5 years old, and his stepdad was an alcoholic. But God saved him, and he's going to a small town, Madeline, Missouri. Anybody know where that is? Yeah, Missouri. It's 3,900 people. Said there's one grocery store, but he's going there. Another bus kid. Praise the Lord. Then we gave him some money. Let's see, seven. Then there was a Caleb. He's going to Pondere, Idaho. Anybody know where that is? No. He said there's no church in a 45-minute driving distance. Starting a church, he needed support. He needed things, so we gave him money. Then there was one going to Pennsylvania, I think. Yeah. City of 800. We gave him money. And then 28 over here. All right. And the last one, I was not there Tuesday night, but I saw Brother Rice, Don Rice. He's doing fairly well, trying to gain his strength back. But his son-in-law and daughter, Charles and Crystal, have been on staff at Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple with Brother Metzinger. But they've surrendered. There was a church, North Hills Baptist Church in San Marcos, California, that was started. I forgot the guy that started it. We know him. But anyway, it was about to close, and they needed somebody to take it. Brother Metzinger told me on the phone it was just like a whirlwind. Charles felt everything fell into place. He felt a desire and a call upon his heart to go pastor. So Brother Charles and Miss Crystal are going to go and take that church to restart it. They said they need 5 months' expenses for current building, which is $13,000. They needed help. They needed for their family moving expense and medical bills, $10,000. And I don't know how much they got, but they do need monthly support. And so I talked to Brother Metzinger, and I asked him, do they need support? Yes, sir. And so I think I think they're a fine couple. I think God's impressed upon their heart. So I recommend that we give them $75 a month for a year. We know Brother Rice that if Charles doesn't do right, Brother Rice will clobber him. Amen. And if he doesn't, Brother Metzinger will. So I have confidence that he will be accountable and ascending churches. Brother Metzinger, Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple, we send the money to them. They'll get it to them. Do we have a motion that we take on Charles? Okay, first, second, all in favor, raise right hand. All opposed? Okay. All right. If you want to look at this and just read some of the names and the needs, but God's good. God's good. 55 or so people are taken and going out to areas that don't have a church and starting or restarting or salvaging a church. going to be churches just like this, and I say to God be the glory. Amen. And then you say, well, you know, someone asked me, well, why didn't you present the roof? You know, $90,000. We could raise that, right? But, you know, I think God wants us. God's going to do what God can do. But I think we can do what we can do. And Brother Nathan Lindholm is there at college. And so when I went there, I gave him $50, part of the cash, because he is studying for the ministry, and I wanted to be a blessing to him. And he was sitting by me, I think it was Thursday night, and he stood up and gave that $50 away for a need. And so we went to Whataburger, and I thought, well, I want to be a blessing to him. So I said, since he gave, the Bible says, give, it shall be given unto you. So I said, well, I'll just give him $100, because that'll give him back the 50, and he gets the joy of giving, plus he gets that back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, why'd you do that, preacher? God's good. God's good. So then we took him back to the college, and he said, Pastor, I love you. I love a church. Bethel's my church, and I got something for you. And so I said, okay. So he went inside, and he had already, I gave him the $100 at Whataburger. We come back to his dorm, and he had already done this beforehand, but he gave me an envelope. And it said for roof, not roof, roof, roof. But it was $500. And I'm like, you know, he gets it. He gets it. God's just going to continue to bless him, folks. And he sat there and watched all the giving, and he got money, and he gave that right back. But he didn't say, well, I'll wait to see what I can do. No, God had already put that upon his heart. And I tell you, if a college student can do that, I'm not asking you to give $500. I'm just asking you to give what you can give. I'll give what I can give. And I guarantee you, God will take up the slack. God's good. God's good. And so it was a great meeting. And the preaching was right on. The giving was right on. Whataburger was just right on. Amen. You know. But I did have some heartburn. Because it went to Whataburger at 11 o'clock. When you get in bed at midnight, never mind. But Brother Nathan did have, he had a triple Whataburger. Has three patties. I mean, when I picked it up, I'm like, wow. And he finished it. He sat there and ate the whole thing. He's going to need that 50 for heart. Anyway. So, praise the Lord. Well, go to Matthew chapter 9 tonight. Matthew chapter 9, and I'm not going to be long, but you know what that means, right? Absolutely nothing, amen. Matthew chapter number 9, if you'll stand in reverence and love God's word, look at verse 35, and we'll read verse 38, very familiar passage of scripture. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Man, I get to be what Jesus was. I get to be a preacher. Amen. And it says, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And all God's people said? Amen. There's not one, oh, well, I'm sorry, that's too much for me. Oh, no, I can do everything else but raise the dead. I can do everything else but cause the blind to see. Every disease and every sickness. That's my God. But when he saw the multitudes, what you think about this? But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Verse 38. If you have a red-lettered edition Bible, these words are in red. This is Jesus Christ saying, pray ye therefore. So don't you think that's on his heart? Don't you think that's his heartbeat? Don't you think that's his passion? He says, pray for the elections. Pray for more churches to be... Pray. No. Look what he says. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth, does it say pastors? Does it say missionaries? Laborers. Into his harvest. If that's on his heart, if that's his desire, hey, pray for this. But he saw the multitudes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you. Thank you so much, dear Father, for tonight. And God, I thank you for the money that was raised. And God, I pray that you might use every dollar and nickel and dime and penny and money that was given for these church planters. And God, I know that it's not the money, but God, we pray for, if we can mention all 50 of them by name, God, they need your help. God, they need your direction. God, they need your intervention. God, as you showed some of them just the lease for a dollar a year by the city, by a city saying that to a church, God, that's amazing. That's a miracle. But God, I pray that you might be with each of them, be with their families, be with their health. God, be with these men and ladies and children that are going to areas that you've called them to, God, to go to door to door and out in the city and out in the county and to reach people for you. Bless our time together around your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So it says, but when he saw the multitudes. What do you mean the multitudes? What was different? Had the Lord ever seen multitudes before? Of course he did. That's who he dealt with. He dealt with multitudes. In fact, multitude in the Bible is mentioned 243 times. 26 times in the book of Matthew. Multitude. Multitudes with an S is mentioned another 24 times in the Bible, and 16 times in the book of Matthew. So a total of 267 times in the Bible, God uses the word multitude or multitudes. In the book of Matthew, 42 times. 42 times. And what did he usually do with the multitude? And we're going to look at that. But why did Jesus say, why does the Word of God say, but when he saw the multitudes? What was different? What made him stop and say, well, this multitude is different than the other multitudes? And that's what I want to look at tonight. Look in chapter number 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes, what? Everybody there? Followed him. Great multitudes followed him. And behold, there was a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Somebody came to him and said, hey, great multitudes. And this guy said, God, I need your help. And would you help me? Would you heal me? And boom, Jesus took care of that. Chapter 8, verse 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe said, I will follow thee whither thou goest. And then in verse 23, and he was entered into a ship, and his disciples followed him. Then if you're looking ahead a little bit, chapter 13, look in verse number 1. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him. So that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables. So here again, great multitudes came unto him, insomuch that he had to get into a boat and talk to them from the boat. And he gave them parables. He spake to them. He preached to them. And then in chapter, go back to chapter 12, verse 15. Verse 14, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes, hear it again, followed him. Followed him. And he healed them. What's the next word? A-L-L. Amen. That's my God. He's able to take care of every problem, all the problems. So then you go to chapter 9, and he starts... And it says, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. What's his own city? What city is that? Anybody know? Not Nazareth. Begins with a C. Capernaum. And if you read this in Mark chapter 9, it tells the story. And they, behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And you know they had to go, and there were so many people in the house gathered around Jesus. And they said, this man needs Jesus. And so they uncovered the roof and let this man down. And not only did Jesus heal the man physically, but he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. My God can do it all. Amen. So the multitude's there. And then in verse 9, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. In verse 10, and it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came down and sat with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You think your day's busy? This is a day in Jesus' life. It's not, well, he did this and the next day he did this. You'll see it. But he healed the man at the house. Then he called Matthew. Then when he came, Jesus set at meat in the house and made me publicans and sinners ask his disciples, and he answered the questions. Then in verse 14, then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? So he's sitting here, and the Pharisees ask him questions, and then later his own disciples say, now wait a minute, Jesus. Why is this that these disciples do, but your disciples don't? And Jesus started answering their questions. And I don't have time to preach on this. Can the child of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? I want you to look down at verse 18. While he spake these things. Is that the next day? No. He's sitting down and he's answering the questions. I mean, he's answering. He told the Sadducees and Pharisees, then his own disciples are saying why. He's answering these questions. And as he's doing that, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come, lay thy hand upon him, and she shall live. And Jesus said, okay, hang on just a second. I'll be there in about an hour. Is that what it says? And he arose, Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. So he got up from where he was at. He was going to go to this guy's house, and while he's on his way to that, a woman, which had a disease, an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And he stopped and he turned around and said, who touched me? And if you read the other accounts, the disciples said, what do you mean who touched you? There's so many people touching you. But he said, well, power, virtue's gone out of me. And verse 22, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So then when he finally arrives at the ruler's house, and saw the minstrels making noise, he said, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. So he gets up from answering the questions. He's walking, and a lady touches him. He stops and deals with that. Then he gets to the house, and he says, hey, I need to see the lady. And everybody erupts in scorn, laughs him to scorn. So he takes care of this, though. He said, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy upon us. And when he was coming to the house, a blind man came, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then he touched the eyes of them, saying, according to your faith, be it unto thee. And their eyes were open. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Sounds like he's pretty busy. Sounds like he's not a Starbucks, you know, doing his coffee for 3 or 4 hours. He's going from one thing to the next. You say, oh, is that all? No. Keep reading. And it says, verse 31, but they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all the country. Verse 32, and as they went. Are you done yet, Jesus? Behold, there brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees saying he cast out devils through the prince of devils. Sounds like he had a pretty busy day. He starts out with healing the lame man, and Then he calls Matthew, and then he answers questions, and then he goes to the ruler's house. Then the lady that needs help, and then he heals two blind men, and then he heals a dumb man. He's pretty busy. And notice that he takes care of all those situations because he's God. Then in verse 35, and Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But the next verse starts with, but when he saw the multitudes. Okay. Lord, you've seen multitudes before. I mean, John chapter 6, they came to him and he fed 5,000. He fed 4,000. He healed the blind man. He healed the lame man. He went to the ruler's house. He healed the lady that touched the hem of his garment. He healed this dumb man. Multitudes. So why was Jesus stopped in the midst and said, it says, but Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. This is a different multitude. This is not the type of multitude that came to him to be fed. That came to him and there were so many they had to get in the ship and he had to preach to them from the ship. It wasn't those that were in the house all crowded around and they brought the lame man on the bed and they could not find a way to get in. This was a different multitude. Everybody that came to Jesus before that knew they had a problem. They came to Jesus with the problem. And Jesus took care of the problem. What about this multitude? The difference was they didn't know to come to Jesus. They weren't coming to Jesus. I believe Jesus lifted up his eyes and he doesn't see the multitudes within reach. He doesn't see them around. He doesn't see them coming and touching the hem of his garment. He doesn't see those. But look, he says, on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. These others got help because they came to Jesus. They knew they needed help. But this multitude, they were still out there. They weren't coming to Jesus. They weren't flocking to him. They weren't coming inside the house. They weren't coming to see where he was at. They weren't calling out to him. They're still out there. They have no idea what the solution is. And it says, because they fainted. Fainted means, it means that they were, the problem with, they were weary. Their body was relaxed because of the weariness. They were weary. There was a problem with this multitude. They fainted, but they were scattered abroad. And that literally means just tossed up wherever it lands. Is that the way the world is today? Well, I think I'll get a job. Well, let's see. Where should I go? What should I do? You know, and they depend on circumstances. And they depend on emotion. And they depend on fate, if you were to say it. But look what he says. He says, as sheep having no shepherd. No guidance. No direction. No shepherd. How would it be if you had no prayer? If you had no God? If you had no church? If you had no Bible? Where would you be? You'd be just like everybody else. That's why Jesus is, he was moved with compassion. He was stirred in his spirit because these people were out there and they weren't relying on God. They weren't relying on their Bible. They weren't relying on the great shepherd. They were relying on their own selves and what they could find out. And wherever the coin tossed, I guess that's where they would land. They were sheep scattered, having no shepherd. And he was moved with compassion. Yes, he was worried about those that came around him. But what moved him was those out there that had no idea that they needed the Lord. And if they would just come to the Lord, whatever problem they had, whether it was being blind or the lady with the issue of blood 12 years or the man with the lame, hey, they were healed immediately. And they got their sins forgiven. But these people had no idea. They had no idea. Hey, I've got to get to Jesus. They were scattered. They had no direction. They had no guidance. That was the problem, Jesus said. And he says, those are the people that he was moved with compassion. We do a lot. I mean, we're remodeling the building. We're doing all we can for people that come inside. We try to greet them. We try to be friendly to them. And that's all right. But Jesus was worried about those that didn't come to the house, that didn't come to the teaching, that didn't come to Jesus to get fed, that didn't send the people to Jesus, said, Jesus, I need you to come now. My daughter is sick, or my son's sick, or we need you, Lord. They weren't coming. They were still out there floundering. They were still out there having no guide and no direction, just scattered abroad. Just wherever it lands, that's where I'll go. I think I'll go here. There's money. I think I'll go there. That's what I feel like. I think I need to go this direction. No direction, no God, no prayer, no Bible. How sad. That's why he was moved with compassion. And you notice he said, then saith he unto his disciples. He'd been helping people all day long. People had come to him and he took care of their needs. People had searched out for him and called his name and came near to him. Yeah, he took care of their problems. But he was moved with those people that didn't come. He was moved with those that did not seek him. And he told his disciples, the truth, the harvest truly is plenteous. And I don't think that plenteous means ripe. My Bible says it's large. And folks, our ministry's large. I don't know about you, there's many people in this city. There's many people in our state. There's many people in the world. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors, the problem, but the labors are few. Then he says in verse 38, pray. Pray ye. This is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, pray that you can fix up your buildings. Pray that you can have nice buildings. Pray that you can have a Starbucks in the foyer. Pray that you can have screens to attract the people. Pray that you have friendly people so that when people come in, they'll feel... No. He didn't say that. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Well, preacher, I'm not called to be a missionary. I'm not a pastor. He didn't say, pray ye that you'll send forth pastors. Send forth missionaries. Send forth laborers. What's a laborer? What does a laborer do? He labors. When I worked for B&K Construction, we had the scaffold foreman, we had the scaffold crew, we had this crew, then we had the labor crew. They did whatever it was. They cleaned up the mess. They didn't really build anything. They just came along and worked. Whatever you needed them to do. Hey, we need help over here. Hey, we need the lumber over here. Hey, they worked. God wants workers. God doesn't want sitters. How is his heart? This is the key right here. We can do all we can and say, man, I'm glad, but people just come on. We want people to flock inside the church. That's the multitude that Jesus dealt with all day long. But what got his heart was the people out there. The people that say, we're looking for something. I have an emptiness in my heart and my life. I've tried booze. I've tried relationships. I've tried houses. I've tried this. Nothing works. It's not going to work. I'm looking, I'm searching. And everybody just thinks of if they used to go to a church when they were a kid or this, they think all churches are like that. I told the group yesterday at visitation, I got a call on my answer machine. This lady's name is Marlene Eder, E-D-E-R. And she said, I got this track on my door. And it says, find hope in life. And she said, it's got Pastor and Mrs. Swope. She said, I'm interested. She said, I read the back. But from what I understand, I don't understand it, but on the back it says that everybody's a sinner. And she made this statement. She said, I don't understand that, but are you the type, are you type of the people that bite heads off of snakes? I'm like, what? What? And she goes, I've got to know what's going on. Please call me back. I'm interested, but I'm not really interested if you're the kind of people that bite heads off of snakes. And I'm like, no. Not that I know. Maybe the trustees do it when I'm not around. I don't know. Maybe the ladies, what's what the ladies do in the ladies' meeting? But, you know, I've never been to one. But as far as I know. But she goes, she was interested. That's the type of person that moves the Lord with compassion. Somebody that's out there that said, I'm interested, but I don't understand. Jesus was moved with compassion. And I want our church to move forward. I want us to get busy for the Lord. I know we have our life, and I know you have your family, and that family's important, and life's important, and making money. But my Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And if God would turn around and look at his disciples and say, I need you to pray. Pray not that you can build more buildings and bigger buildings and have nicer places for people to come and the synagogues and want it just right. He says, pray that we'll have more going into the harvest. That's us leaving where we are and going to them where they are. Not waiting for them to come to us. I think that was the difference. 247 times, God uses multitudes. He knew the multitudes had problems. He knew they had issues. But those multitudes were coming to him. And he was taking care of their needs. But his heart, his desire, his prayer, hey, let's leave here and go out there. And folks, God will never bless this church unless we leave here and go out there. Amen. We can be friendly. We can have a great music program, preaching. But unless you go out there and get them, we're really not being an answer to God's prayer. But when we go knock on doors, knocked on a door yesterday, and this guy yelled, "We have COVID." I should have said, that's okay, I've had it before, just come to the door, you know. But yesterday we went to an area of town, pretty poor area of town, pretty poor. In fact, some of the houses, there was a sign on one door that says this house has been condemned unlivable. But the next door, someone was living there. And I'm thinking, we are so blessed. Have a nice place. Most of us have nice homes, nice cars. Have a nice church, padded pews. But those people inside those houses, what do they have? Trying to figure out life. One lady says, are you a Baptist church? She goes, I moved here in June, I think it was. I'm looking for a church. I said, I happen to know a good Baptist church that you could go to. But I'm telling you, if you can get the heartbeat of Jesus, he was looking out. He said he saw the multitudes, not the ones around, but the ones out there. He said, disciples, pray. Pray that the Lord of harvest will send forth laborers. Well, okay, I'll wait till God sends me. We used to have a sign out there that says, beyond these doors lies the mission field. It's not Africa. Our mission field is not Africa. It's Wichita, Kansas. People outside these doors. People that you run into every day. So I want to encourage you. Go home and look at that again. See the heartbeat and prayer of Jesus. Hey, I want to send forth laborers. if they knew the answer, some of them did, and they came to Jesus, they were taken care of. Their problems was taken care of. That one guy got up and walked, and his sins were forgiven. What a happy day for him. But the rest of them, they don't know. That lady, hey, I got a tract on my door. Find hope in life. I'm interested. I don't understand. Are you those weird people? There's a lot of weird people. Are you one of those? What are you? You say everybody's a sinner. Yeah. That's the person that gets the heart of Jesus. Now, folks, starting in next Sunday, Sanctity of Life Sunday, Crazy Hat Sunday, we moved into February. Really want to start cranking it up. Heading to Brother Korn. Go right into our anniversary service. It's going to take a commitment. Hey, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Find something. Get involved. It's not fun just sitting there on the bench and, oh, yeah, you know, watch. No, get involved. God says, send forth laborers, workers into my harvest. And every job is important. Picking up trash, sweeping a bus, teaching a Sunday school class. Definitely wiping the bottoms in the nursery is definitely a very important job. Amen. But everything that we do, everything is important. But I want you to know, we ought to have the same heartbeat as the Lord. I want people to come in. I want to make it as nice as we can. But if we only sit here and make it nice and say, all right, come on. It wasn't that multitude that moved the heart of Jesus. When he looked out beyond that group that he'd helped all day long, to those that had no idea they needed Jesus, had no idea that Jesus could take care of their problems. That's what moved our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what ought to move us. Get as many as can come in, yes. But we got to go out there. We got to leave here and go out there. That was God's prayer. That's what I hope that we'll get a hold of. And God will say, he'll say, Lord, I surrender. I want to be one of those laborers. I may not be able to do this or go door to door on Saturday or this, but I want to get out there. I want to do all I can in the harvest. I want to be an answer to God's prayer. Wouldn't you like to say that? Lord, I'm an answer to your prayer. You pray that the Lord would send forth laborers, and I'm one of those laborers. God, thank you. I'm an answer to God's prayer. Instead of, well, what are you doing in life? Well, you know, I got this, and I got this, and I got a job, and I got a house, and I got a car. What are you doing for Christ? Go out there. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you tonight. God, I thank you so much for the Word of God that you've given us. God, I thank you so much for you showing us your heart. And God, you had multitudes all around you. God, there's multitudes in the Bible that gathered around you to be fed. You fed 5,000. You fed 5 to 20,000. You fed 4,000. You had a room full in that house. And God, you had people around you. But God, you lifted up your eyes and you saw the people that were not coming to you. You saw the multitude that were still out there floundering and wondering. And God, you told us that your desire and your prayer was for us to go to them. I pray that you might bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand tonight? I don't know how the Lord has spoken in your heart. Maybe you just need to come and say, God, I want to sign up. I want to volunteer to be a laborer. Whatever, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do. I'm willing to go and to do whatever you want me to do, but I want to be an answer to your prayer. As the piano begins to play and Brother Derek begins to sing, I challenge you to do business with the Lord tonight. Would you come?
Oh, to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give.
Oh, it's great when the multitude came to Jesus.
Love
and he healed trust their blind, He healed their sick,
in His presence
healed the lame.
Daily live. I surrender,
but He looked beyond those. He looked at those that were not coming to Him. Those that weren't in His immediate vicinity.
All to Thee, my
was moved with compassion.
Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender.
Would you like to go through life saying, "I'm an answer to God's prayer"?
Savior,
I'm an answer to Jesus' prayer.
Thine. Let me.
I answer the call to go into His harvest.
Holy Spirit, true.
Tell my neighbors and friends, loved ones, workmates
art
about
mine.
Jesus.
I surrender
whole.
I surrender whole. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender whole.
Read that passage again.
All to Jesus,
the harvest truly
I
is
surrender, Lord.
But the labor?
I give myself to Thee. Fill me with
need more workers,
thy
need more laborers.
Love and power. Let Thy blessings
need more laborers in the church, yes.
Fall on me.
He said we need more laborers to go out. To go out into the harvest.
I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Let's sing one more verse tonight. Would you come? Volunteer, Lord, I volunteer.
To Jesus, I surrender.
Lord, I want to be more
involved. To Him,
I want to be the answer to Your prayer.
Give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender whole. I surrender whole. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Seated quietly while these are still here at the altar. Now, God's people said, appreciate you being here tonight, and sure love you, sure appreciate you. It's good to see David and Delilah Osterhaus with us. Good to have you. If you look on Facebook, need to pray for Brother Myers. If you look on Facebook, he's got a picture of him. He had surgery, and he has to wear a neck brace. And he says right now he went home and started bleeding, and he can't hardly sleep or eat. So might remember Brother Myers in your prayers. Might shoot him a text or something, but just remember him in prayer, all right? So let's all stand. Let's see, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. Got that one? Thank you for being in the Lord's house, and I hope you'll be back Wednesday night in God's house. And then come go with us. Operation Saturation every Saturday morning, 10 o'clock. Come with us. Come knock doors with us. We'll hook you up with somebody. If you don't want to talk, we'll send you somebody that can talk. Just need to knock doors. I think we knocked 118 doors yesterday with 9 people. And we just need more laborers. We need more people to come out and knock doors with us every Saturday morning. If you can't go on Saturday morning, pick up some tracks. And somebody put a track on that lady's door. I don't know where she lives, but on her. And other people, they just need to hear the gospel, folks. Hear the truth. So let's sing My Lord Knows the Way Through the Wilderness.
My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow.
Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. Thank you for the day. Thank you so much for a group of people that are willing to be in your house and hear a Bible message. And God, thank you for their giving and for their generosity and their honesty with you, dear Father. And thank you that we were able to give away money to help these church planters. And again, God, we pray for every name in this book. And God, I pray for every city that was represented, God, that a soul winning, separated, King James Bible only, Bible preaching Baptist church be established in those areas, that the gospel might go forth, people might get saved, turn their life around, and God, that you might be honored and glorified. Thank you for tonight. Pray that you might take us from this place, give us a good week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.